I am Planta on the line. This is the commentary.ca. The Olympic gold medalist Ross Rebliati joins me now. He's just written a highly readable, interesting history of snowboarding off the chain, an insider's history of snowboarding. It's a compelling book that takes us into the world of snowboarding, the development of the sport, and more. He also takes us through his own history with the sport, as he's one of snowboarding's most recognized stars. He discusses his Olympic gold medal win, the loss of it due to a drug controversy, and the subsequent regaining of the medal. The book is published by Greystone. Ross Rebliati is the founder of the Rebliati Alpine Snowboarding Training Academy and sales manager of Westera Point. His website is rossrebliati.com. He lives in Kelowna and was recently acclaimed as the federal Liberal candidate in the riding of Okanagan-Coquihalla, where he will likely face Stockwell Day in the next election. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Ross Rebliati. Good morning, Mr. Rebliati.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. I guess the first time that I ever saw snowboarding growing up was in that James Bond movie where Roger Moore goes down the slope. How long has this been sort of a sport?
Well, since the early days, in the early 1960s, actually, and one of the first times I ever saw snowboarding was in the same James Bond movie that you saw, so it was definitely an inspiration.
Yeah. Do you remember when you first saw snow growing up? Were your family, was your family, were they into snow sports and the sort, and hanging out in the snow?
More or less. We grew up in Vancouver. And, we've been up to Whistler in the early 70s, before, Blackcomb was a mountain and Creekside was the main village of Whistler. And, we were visiting a cabin up in the woods that there's no road to at the time, hiking, through the snow just to get to it. And now there's like a whole subdivision around that with the same old cabin. But, we were quite active. I was a member of the Grouse Mountain Taiyi ski team until I was 15. And right around that time is when I made the transition to snowboarding.
And is it safe to say that it was born here, or was it born elsewhere?
Yeah, it was definitely not born here. I mean, we weren't allowed to snowboard in Canada until 1988. So before that, you really needed to have a keen interest to know about snowboarding in Canada. Although, in the United States, it kind of started simultaneously in California and on the East Coast, New England. From California, it came from surfing roots, and out east, it came from more skateboarding side of things. So, it was kind of happening around the world, and obviously Europe opened their doors to snowboarding a lot earlier than even America did. So it really kicked it off. Europe really kicked it off first.
Can we say that it's more... I don't know how to put this. We seem to be where snowboarders come, Whistler and the sort.
Sure.
I guess it's because of you and what happened over 10 years ago now that it's become sort of connected to this part of the world.
Well, I'd like to think so. I mean, obviously, the conditions lend itself, to snowboarding. The West Coast does receive a phenomenal amount of snow each year, and so I think, as much as I, did, make a mark in the world of snowboarding and maybe put, Whistler and the Lower Mainland on the map during the Olympics, it definitely would have been one of those strong areas, popular areas for snowboarding in any case. I don't like to be the only guy to take claim on that type of thing. There were a lot of guys that were around before I was, but I was really the first guy to get the spotlight.
What does off the chain mean?
Off the chain is more or less an urban saying that, snowboarding adopted. And what it means, it refers to, letting the dogs off the chain. And that's more of a way to describe something that's out of control. And, if you were at a party that was just crazy, you said, man, that party was off the chain. Or, if the snow conditions were, unreal, you could say, yeah, man, we were snowboarding today, and it was off the chain. So kind of represents, the way snowboarding comes from that rebellious side of things and counterculture also.
It's a lifestyle too, right?
It really is a lifestyle. You know what, when you go to high school these days and you see, what kids are wearing and you know, how they got the baggy jeans and they got their baseball caps on sideways. And as much as it's, you know, borrowed from like the urban sort of rap culture, it also comes from snowboarding. You can be a snowboarder even when you're not on the hill, and you can represent, you know, what you love and the lifestyle that you love just by the clothes you wear. And so in that way, it's really transcended into our culture more than just a sport.
There's also this side of snowboarding, this view that people have that it's a den of debauchery, that there's a lot of partying and drug use. Is it? Is that unfair?
Well, I think all stereotypes are false. Out of the start gate, I don't think that you could lump snowboarding in with that it's a gateway to wild parties and the use of banned substances and illegal substances. But you know what? It's prevalent in lots of different areas of our society, and skiing is no exception. And back in the early days, like in the 70s and stuff, when you watch movies like Hot Dog and the old ski movies, ski bum movies, I mean, you just substitute snowboards for those skis and it's the same thing. So it, really what it is that it's a representation of the youth and sort of what young people do when they grow up.
It's also a big industry now. Friends of mine are going up to Whistler for the holidays, and I asked them if they were going to snowboard or ski, and in terms of snowboarding, they said that it was rather expensive to rent gear and the sort there. Is it?
I think it's just as expensive as renting skis, actually. The one thing about snowboarding is that you only have one snowboard to deal with, where, you know, when you go to rent skis, you got, you know, two skis and two poles and, you know, all this equipment and it's cumbersome and even when you're out skiing, you got to deal with four edges instead of two edges and crossing your tips and all that sort of thing. So snowboarding is kind of like a more simple version of skiing, and it lends itself to that self-expression that you can get when you're surfing, and you have your own style, where skiing is a little bit more regimented. And although skiing has borrowed a lot of snowboarding, a lot of the attributes of snowboarding in the design of the skis, now that you have twin tip skis and you have guys riding in the half pipe in the snowboard park just as on skis just as much as snowboarders are. But generally, snowboarding is a more simple version of skiing, and it doesn't take as long to get good at it.
It's $150 billion industry now, is it?
It is a big industry worldwide. It is quite huge.
The controversy at the Olympics in 1998 that you were embroiled in, do you think that will help you or prepare you for this foray into politics that you're attempting now?
Undoubtedly. I think, I had a really rough ride at the Olympics. Leading up to the Olympics, I understand the dedication and the sacrifice that, goes into, getting yourself to that level. And, that's going to lend itself great to, my political aspirations as well. But at the same time, I was embroiled in the controversy, like you said, and had the opportunity, to showcase, more of my character and my social skills. During some really tough interviews and national and internationally broadcasted interviews. So, and plus over the years, it's been, we're going on 11 years now since 98, and, it really hasn't really calmed down as much as what people said. They were first saying, get your 15 minutes of fame while it lasts. Well, it's been 11 years, and it has calmed down, honestly, it has a little bit, since the Olympics, but it's been a constant, I've had constant attention ever since then, and I think that, it's really been a great experience, and I really do think that it's going to help me.
There is this perception of you, though, and is the book perhaps an attempt to dissuade people of the notion that you're some pothead? Because, I mean, you talk candidly about what happened 11 years ago, and what's happened since. But people out there still have this view of you. Was that a goal of the book, that you wanted to dissuade people of that notion?
Their
perceptions of you, I should say?
You know what, I think the perceptions that people have been established now for a long time. It's been over a decade. And there are going to be the people that are for me and the people that are not so much for me. And you can never win all of the votes, even the most popular guy in the world isn't going to have everybody on his side. And so winning is a losing game, and you have to, it's a growing up process as well. I was young at the time, and You know, 26 years old at the Olympics isn't that young, but, you know, compared to, you know, I'm 38 years old now, and I look back, you know, 11 years ago, and I think, wow, you know, that was quite a long time ago, and I was quite a bit younger, and not to mention the whole lead up to, you know, getting to the Olympics. We weren't a sanctioned sport. It was more of a free-for-all and more of skateboarding-oriented, you know, hardcore kind of scene than it is now. But, you know, I had the opportunity to take a lot of, you know, wrong paths along the way growing up. And I think, you know, snowboarding was one of the paths that I did take that kind of got me out of Vancouver, got me out of the city, got me out into the fresh air, gave me a focus, which I didn't really have, you know, in school. I wasn't the best student in the world and didn't really have aspirations to go to university and you know, become a career guy like most people do. And snowboarding really gave me that opportunity to, you know, branch out and do something new, do something different. And at the same time, you know, it lent itself to, you know, me being creative on how I can create a career out of this and how I can take the right road and amongst all of the turmoil that there is when you're growing up. So there's a little bit of both, and I think that everybody does need to make really tough decisions along the way, and I've had to do the same thing, and for the most part, it's turned out.
The whole controversy from 98, did that prevent you from going back to competing at the Olympics in Salt Lake in 2002?
No, it didn't prevent me from getting back into the game, although, you know, when 9/11 came around, I was blanketed with the no-fly list, and I wasn't able to travel down south for, you know, several years. Since then, I've managed to rectify that situation, and you know, I've been completely exonerated. So, you know, I do have a clean criminal record. I don't have any issues with the law or anything like that. And you know, I've made a concentrated effort, you know, to, you know, be involved in charities and do the right thing ever since I came back from the Olympics, and, you know, really be a part of the community and contribute, you know, to you know, the communities that I live in. And, you know, me stepping forward, you know, to represent the Liberal Party in the Okanagan Coquihalla is just one more way where, you know, I've decided to, you know, take a chance, step up to the plate, and, you know, stand up for the, you know, the youth of Canada, basically.
Was it your idea to go into politics, or were you approached by the party?
Well, originally, like, when I lived in Whistler, I was working behind the scenes for the Liberal Party there, you know, as a sounding board, as a young guy connected to the youth in Whistler. And then when I moved to Kelowna several years ago, I got involved again with the Liberal Party and Cindy Hawkins, as she was the local MLA up there. And then, you know, just through these behind-the-scenes things, like, not a lot of people realized that I was actually doing this because most of my friends could care less about politics, and that's part of the reason why I thought it was interesting for me to get involved. As it turned out, about a month ago, I was approached by the Liberal Party to consider running in the next federal election, and you know, due to my experience, past experience, and my fascination with world affairs and Canadian politics in particular, it didn't take me very long to give them the thumbs up. So it's probably a surprise to most people to hear that, but you know, not everything that I do is public, and you know, a lot of the things that the stereotypes in particular of snowboarders, you know, obviously, you know, you can look at all the stereotypes and they're mostly all false. And you know, snowboarding is a legitimate sport. It's a medal event in the Olympics, and it's very difficult and technical, and it takes a lot of dedication to get to that level of any sport, and snowboarding is no exception. So I really feel like you know, I really paid my dues and you know, spent a long time, you know, deciding, you know, the difference between right and wrong and you know, where I need to go in my life so that I can be happy and provide for my family.
How do you get young people involved in the political process? You told McLean's magazine a couple weeks ago that you'd only voted twice in the last ever since you've been able to vote. How do you get people to vote?
Well, you know, just by raising awareness and by, you know, representing the youth. You know, I think right now a lot of people might look at the current government and not really see much of a reflection of themselves. And I'm hoping to be able to sort of relate to the, you know, the constituents, the younger ones. You know, when I say younger, I mean 40 and younger. You know, there's somebody who knows how to snowboard, you know, races dirt bikes, kite sails, surfs, you know, loves the outdoors. You know, all these sorts of things are things that people can relate to. And I'm a real person. I do real things. you know, I wore my tool belt almost all summer this year, you know, framing houses and building cement forms and whatnot. And, you know, I know what it is to, you know, to be short of cash. And I understand what it's like to be a young family and to have, you know, a newborn and the challenges, you know, between, you know, making a living and having affordable child care and you know, what the struggles are when you're living on minimum wage. And I think that those things are things that the younger generation are going to be able to relate to, and they're going to know that I know what it's like personally. And, you know, that's something that I think is key, and that a lot of politicians haven't really focused in on the real struggles, the day-to-day stuff that regular people deal with. I have, you know, when I came back from the Olympics in 98, it wasn't a cakewalk for me. I did lose some major corporate sponsorship. As much as I put out the persona that I was being, you know, sought after by a lot of these sponsors, and like Roots, for example, you know, behind the scenes, it was a struggle. I didn't have enough money, you know, to get by. And living in Whistler is no you know, small feat either. It's very expensive. And, you know, I really do understand and feel for, you know, the average person.
You met with Michael Ignatieff last week, the leader of the Liberal Party. He's not exactly getting a very good press at the moment. There's doubts about his leadership. The polls, in terms of his popularity as a possible prime minister, have been quite poor. What do you make of this lack of enthusiasm over his leadership?
I don't think it really represents a true lack of enthusiasm over his leadership. I think that's coming from the opposition mostly. You know, Michael Ignatieff has a great wealth of experience, having been overseas and learned the ways of the world. He understands the way other countries conduct business, and he understands the way Canada needs to, you know, move into the future. He's very much concerned with, you know, sustainable energy and you know, wind power, solar power, tidal powers, and all of these like green industries that are just coming up, you know, now in light of, you know, expensive gasoline that we went through a couple of years ago, and, you know, the lack of it and where we're buying it from and everything. And, you know, I really do believe that he's a great leader for us and for the country. And, you know, I'm not too worried about the polls. It's really early right now. We don't know when, you know, the next election is. And you know, the polls have never really been as accurate as what we'd like them to be. So, in the long run, I think that we're in really good shape. It's just a matter of, you know, getting through this tough period. And I think, you know, the Conservative Party has really made an effort to disclaim a lot of the great things that Michael Ignatieff is about. And, you know, we've got a challenge ahead of us to, you know, set the record straight.
You'll doubtless be asked about marijuana and where you are on the, whether it should be legalized or decriminalized. You told McLean's when you were asked about that you were not going to go there right now. When they asked you about it, have you been advised by your handlers or the party not to talk about what you think on this issue?
Absolutely not. I just don't think that this is an issue that needs to be addressed at this point in time. And you know, I think that there will come a time when you know, that might come up. But right now, I think dealing with our current recession and how we're going to create more jobs in Canada, and specifically in the Okanagan-Coquihalla riding, I think that's the key message right now. You know, I've come out and said that, you know, keeping kids off of alcohol, tobacco, and drugs in general is the message that I'm proud to promote, and, you know, I'm going to stick by that.
How long have you lived in Kelowna?
I've been up there for, I guess we're going on 4 years now.
And when was it that you went into real estate?
Well, I've been involved in real estate privately since the early 90s and involved in promoting developments and whatnot for several years now, since I would say going on 10 years now.
And how often do you snowboard? Like, do you take you have a new baby, right?
Sure.
And you're married. Do you all go out, the three of you, to the slopes?
Well, actually, my wife's not a skier or a snowboarder.
Really?
And Ryan is only 6 months old.
Yeah.
So he's not really ready to hit the slopes yet. But, you know, I did put in a good 10 years of 200 days plus a year, and that's over 2,000 days of snowboarding. And that was 10 years ago. And, you know, I've done enough snowboarding, you know, for 100 lifetimes. And as much as I love it, it's not something that, you know, when I have spare time, I'd like to do a lot of the other things that I enjoy, like kite sailing and dirt biking. And, you know, for example, this spring we've got a great nationwide tour planned called Off-Road Canada 360, where we're going to be taking our Paris-Dakar style dirt bikes up from BC up north of the Yukon, and then traversing across Canada over to Hudson's Bay, down into towards Newfoundland, and then back out west via the Trans-Canada Trail. So, you know, there's a lot of other things that I love to do, and snowboarding is just one of them.
There was some talk about your participating in the upcoming Olympics, and at first you weren't going to bear the torch. Now you are, I understand?
I don't think at first I wasn't going to bear the torch. I just got the news recently that I am going to bear the torch. So I think that's great news for me, and you know, I'm very proud to, you know, have the opportunity to do that and to be included in the 2010 Games, and I just think it's great.
Now, you've won championships outside of the Olympics at the World Cup, at the U.S. Open, and the sort. Do they matter as much as the Olympic gold medal?
It all depends on the individual. You know, some people, you know, would consider the Mount Baker Bank Slalom to be the most important race in the world, and you know, as far as they're concerned, it always will be and always has. I've had the honor of winning that race myself a long time ago, and so I think, you know, definitely the Olympics has put snowboarding on an international stage and has legitimized the sport, you know, by being a medal event. And, you know, for some people, the Olympics is their number one focus. But I wouldn't lump all of snowboarding into that category.
Ross, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. I've never skied in my life, nor snowboarded, nor do I have the inclination to do
so. I won't hold that against you, don't worry.
But I really enjoyed reading this book because you wrote it well. And it's a good story. Congratulations on it. Continued good luck.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Appreciate that.
You're very welcome. The website for more is rossrebliati.com. The book is called Off the Chain, An Insider's History of Snowboarding. It's published by Greystone. The author, Ross Rebliati, on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunda.